It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 169 of the Ron and Brian podcast. It is Sunday night. I'm here with my friend, Brian. Brian, how goes it this evening, sir?
You know, this is going to be a special episode. I feel very great about it. I feel amazing about it. I feel stunning about it. I think this is going to be the one that is going to break the internet.
Wow. That is a bold statement. I guess with a lead up like that, we just need to get into it with Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Sláinte.
Who's?
Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week. Drink of
All right, week. Brian, tell me, what are you drinking this week?
This week, from our dear friends, you know, Tennessee is not really a place where I would think first when it comes to beer, but that is something that's about to change, coming from our good friends at Jackalope Brewing Company. This thing is called Sultry Seagull. It is coming in at a 4.4 ABV. Ron, what happens when you mix strawberry raspberry lemonade with a wheat brew?
I don't know.
You get 4.4 ABV.
Okay, that would make sense then. Thoughts?
It'll do for the podcast.
Okay.
I don't know that I would run out and buy a four pack of this. It's definitely a summer beer. There's a lot of fruity flavors going on. The palate I'm feeling on the front end of my tongue, definitely getting the strawberry. The back end of my tongue is absolutely getting the lemon. I could keep talking, but eventually I thought you were going to shut me up.
You know, you talk about your tongue, and I think people just really want to hear about the different parts of your tongue. But that's good. I'm happy that you're enjoying it somewhat.
Ron?
Yes.
What have you prepared for the podcast?
So this week, and surprisingly enough, I also have a strawberry-flavored beer that I'm bringing to the table from our good friends at Breckenridge Brewery out in Colorado. This is Strawberry Sky. This is a fruit-forward Kolsch-style ale with a delicate finish. This one clocks in at 4.8%.
You just had to top me.
Ooh. Doesn't really have the same strawberry hue that yours does, but a nice looking beer to begin with. So let's see.
Well, mine was a wheat ale. That is a nice cold.
Oh.
Nice.
No, this is good.
Oh, I'm jelly. When Ron goes for two, I think he's got a third one in him. Mm. I called it. When that man goes for three, it's a good beer.
Listen, we talk about summer beers being crushable. This is definitely a crushable Kolsch, one you can sit on the back deck, drink quite a few of. I'm a happy man.
And isn't that really all that counts?
Our happiness really is paramount. That is our number one reason that we do this podcast. It's the number one reason we celebrate Hot Podcaster Summer.
Hot Podcaster Summer.
All right. One thing.
I love that effect so much.
I understand. We will always keep the sound effect, though. We will always make sure never goes away. Something else that never goes away, Brian. It is the tremendous amount of racism that we see each and every week.
This
week
in
racism.
All right. Two full pages again at a 10.5 font. I had to cram it in, cut some stories. We are going to attempt to keep this to a tight 10 minutes. We will see how it goes. So start the clock now. It's This Week in Racism. Three black people formerly employed at a Kraft Heinz plant in Tulare, California, have filed a $30 million lawsuit alleging that they were subjected to a racist work environment between 2012 and 2018. Alex Horn, Lance Aitman, and Keith Hooker claim that staff called them the N-word and drew swastikas on their lockers. Additionally, anonymous notes were allegedly left on the employees' lockers, including a note that read, quote, quit or die, N-words. While the ex-employees went to management to report the behavior, they claimed they were told to keep their heads down and were retaliated against. Home Depot.
Oh, I hope they get every penny.
Home Depot allegedly discriminated against a Minneapolis employee for their Black Lives Matter activism at work, according to a complaint filed by a regional official with the National Labor Relations Board. The complaint states that Home Depot used its uniform policy to selectively and disparately punish employees who had the initials BLM on their Home Depot aprons. The worker in question was allegedly told to pick between his job and wearing the slogan. The complaint claims that the employee was eventually suspended and then terminated. Additionally, Home Depot management threatened workers with unspecified consequences for their Black Lives Matter activism during a work online meeting in February. A San Diego man was sentenced to 2 years in federal prison Monday on weapons charges after making violent online threats about Black Lives Matter demonstrations. Gray Zamudio was arrested last August and pled guilty in December to having an unregistered short-barreled rifle and two unregistered silencers. Federal prosecutors said in a sentencing memorandum filed in U.S. District Court that Zamudio, quote, is motivated by a violent ideology and appears eager to commit acts of violence against Black people, liberals, and others. Detroit Tigers announcer and Hall of Fame pitcher Jack Morris has been suspended indefinitely after he used an accent to answer a question about Shohei Ohtani. Morris was asked by play-by-play man Matt Shepard, what should the Tigers do against Ohtani during his at-bat in the sixth inning? Morris then decided to use an Asian accent and said, be very, very careful. He will be required to undergo bias training during his suspension. Ukrainian wrestler Zan Belenyuk was the sole recipient of a gold medal on his team during the Tokyo Summer Games, but has been the recipient of racist attacks since returning home. He posted on Facebook about a young man that had approached him, calling him a black monkey and telling him to return to Africa.
Oh, God.
A black couple claims that a Waffle House in Missouri denied them in-dining service because of the color of their skin. Jim, yes, you're timing out for a second.
Are you claiming that there's racism in a Waffle House?
In Missouri, nonetheless.
Wow, I'm shocked. So disappointed, America. So disappointed.
So Jimmy Sia Bennett and her wife Camry went to the St. Charles City Waffle House and were told by a server that they could only do to-go orders. They then noticed that white customers were being seated by the same server. Waffle House investigated the situation and said that it was, quote, very poor customer service that was rendered by a very young, inexperienced, and flustered server, but it was not racially motivated. Waffle House also said the server voluntarily resigned and noted that the manager of that particular Waffle House is black. A Florida woman who was caught on camera yelling racial insults at a mother and her kids has been fired from her job. Patricia Schmidt was employed as an exceptional student education specialist at Lely Elementary School when the video went viral showing her yelling racist remarks at the family. Quote, are they your mulatto kids? You had sex with a black guy? Your kids are half-breeds. Schmidt was initially placed on administrative leave, but the school district tweeted on Thursday that she had been fired. Two former officers from the Torrance Police Department were charged with vandalism and conspiracy to commit vandalism for allegedly spray painting a swastika on a vehicle that they were in charge of impounding. Police Chief Jeremiah Hart also revealed that 13 other officers from the department were suspended after the investigation into former officers Christopher Tomsick and Cody Weldon. District Attorney George Gaskin said that the suspended officers were, quote, exchanging racist, discriminatory, homophobic, and anti-Semitic messages. A 28-year-old black police officer in Syracuse has filed a federal lawsuit against his department for what he claims is blatant and extreme racism. Officer Brandon Hawks and his lawyer further described the department's attitude towards black officers as Jim Crow culture. Hanks was up to join the department's gang violence task force this year, but was allegedly denied because some of the white officers he worked with referred to him as a gang member and narcotics trafficker who has known associations with gang members and convicted criminals. Hanks is seeking $33 million in damages. Homestead, Pennsylvania Police Chief Jeff DeSimone has been suspended for 3 days without pay after being caught in a viral video harassing a pregnant black woman. A video showed DeSimone in plain clothes and an unmarked car shouting at Kamala Stewart in a Giant Eagle pharmacy drive-thru last week. Stewart was picking up medication for her child, and the chief demanded that she leave so he could get his medication sooner. He then turned on his vehicle's police lights. DeSimone insisted that the confrontation had been unjustly blown out of proportion, describing it as a little dispute and suggesting that it was reasonable to use his position as chief of police to demand that Stewart pull over to let him jump the line. Multiple black residents said that the chief has exhibited inappropriate behavior in the past and argued in favor of him being fired rather than given a short suspension. And we also have a few stories in Racism Rewind.
Racism Rewind.
Last year, we reported on Michael Frederick Jr., who was arrested and charged for a string of attacks on a black Michigan family's home. Last week, he was sentenced to 4 to 10 years in prison. In July, he pleaded no contest to ethnic intimidation, malicious destruction of property, discharging a firearm at a building, and using a firearm during a felony. During sentencing, he admitted that he had targeted the family because of the Black Lives Matter sign they had in their window. We have one more follow-up on Nicole Poole Franklin, the woman who had run her SUV into two children back in December of 2019 because she thought they were of Middle Eastern, African, or Mexican descent. She had previously pled guilty in state court to 2 counts of attempted murder and received 2 25-year sentences to run concurrently. This week, she was sentenced in federal court on 2 hate crime charges and received a sentence of 25 years and 4 months. The federal sentence will also run concurrent with her state sentences. However, unlike the state sentences, there is no parole in the federal system, meaning she will serve her full sentence. And then finally, going back to my hometown of Schenectady, New York, a former ice cream shop owner accused of calling police on peaceful Black Lives Matter protesters was ordered Wednesday to pay them $500 each by a judge for violating their civil rights. The lawsuit was brought against David Elmendorf, who had wielded a baton and air rifle and shouted racial epithets at protesters who came to his business to protest after racist text messages he allegedly wrote circulated on social media. That lawsuit was brought by Attorney General Letitia James and was the first to rely in part on a new state law targeting false race-based police reports. Under the ruling, Elmendorf must pay $500 each to 9 protesters he harassed for a total of $4,500, and he is permanently barred from making future threats against people because of their race and from brandishing a deadly weapon within 1,000 feet of any peaceful protest. And that, Brian, is This Week in Racism.
I think you're coming in at about 8 minutes, 45 seconds.
It's, again, we're keeping it under 10 minutes because I know how you get sometimes. Just trying to, to make you happy, Brian.
We only have an hour for the show. And sometimes, you know, back in the day, before we had put this restraint on you, you were touching 15, 17 minutes.
There were some weeks, you know, and I guess, you know, eight minutes and 51 seconds, even with your interruption, which I feel like sometimes you interrupt and try and throw me off. Just how I feel.
Okay.
In the meantime,
I did not realize that this was the Ron podcast featuring Brian.
I mean, my name is first in the title. So,
and it will always be first. If
anyway,
you and I are ever linked to involved with, you will always be listed first.
Yeah, it's what they say in showbiz. You put the single syllable name and then the double syllable name. It's just how it flows off the tongue.
Yeah, Brian and Ron just does not go.
All right, let's move on to Beef of the Week.
Beef
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
This was actually something that really started to bother me yesterday. As friends of the podcast are aware, I'm sure, I was supposed to be attending a rock concert tonight in Hartford, Connecticut. I was supposed to be seeing a band by the name of Kiss, featuring Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons, and two other guys who Dom would know, but I couldn't.
Peter Criss, is he still with?
No, he's out of the band. I want to say Thayer, Marky Thayer. Anywho, not the point. So I was supposed to be seeing them tonight in Hartford, Connecticut. However, due to the storm, Hurricane Henri, because apparently the French are now deciding to fuck with my ability to see a rock show, Hurricane Henri decided to make landfall right over Rhode Island on its way to plowing through Connecticut. So the concert was originally postponed from Sunday to Monday, which would have completely fucked up my work schedule. But later on last night, as the storm was getting closer, it was announced that we were going to be postponing the show to a date to be named later. So I'm not even getting my money back on tickets. Now, keep in mind, this is something you'll get a kick out of, was that in, I'm going to say it was probably December of 19, maybe January of 20, I purchased tickets to go see Kiss in Atlantic City for August of 2020. That show got wiped out due to COVID. I did get my money back, but that's neither here nor there. So when they decided to come on tour for 21, I looked at tickets. They were playing Saturday in Atlantic City, Sunday in Hartford, Connecticut. Tickets in Atlantic City, twice as much.
Of course.
So, you know me, I'm always about a good deal. Always about getting the, you know, getting my value for my dollar. Sure, I decided, no. Let's not do Atlantic City on Saturday. Let's do Sunday in Hartford. Atlantic City takes place without a problem on Saturday. Hartford, who knows when it's going to take place. Ticketmaster, I want my money back.
Did you remember to cancel your hotel room at least?
I did. And by the way, treated incredibly well. The people at the downtown Marriott in Hartford, very friendly. The young lady that was behind the counter or the desk when I called. How do I know where she was when she picked up the phone? I'm such an idiot sometimes. She really good customer service because she pretended to be surprised that Kiss was playing in town on that day. She's like, really? Oh, I didn't know they were playing. Keep in mind, I'm sure this young woman has no idea who Kiss is. Like that was like you just, but she knew how to not hurt my feelings by being like, you were seeing who? You were traveling and actually going to stay in a hotel to see who?
Probably
like, no, not the who. The fact. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I thought it was still going on Monday. I didn't realize it had been postponed yet again.
It got now it's just pushed off to whom, you know, at some point, maybe this concert will take place. That's my beef of the week, Ron.
Reasonable. Yes.
What's your problem this week?
This week, you know, and again, this is going to, I know this is going to reek of first world problems, but my house is what is my beef of the week this week. Because with the weather and everything, you know, we had like just days in a row of things that annoy me about my house. So Thursday night, big storm in the area. I end up with water in my basement yet again. Still,
We know this.
It continues. And it's not the waterproofing works. It's just that damn drain outside continues to get clogged up. Friday night, storm again, power goes out. I wake up just drenched in sweat because the fan's not on, the air conditioning's not on. And I'm like, I keep my room a little chilly at night so I can get under the blankets. And then Sunday, we had to clean the house, which took like 4 hours, which just kills half a day. It's just, this is why, you know, we have decided to move at some point next year. which really has, I want to say it's energized the real estate community in this area. There are a lot of townships that want half of the Ron and Brian podcast to be based in their location.
Yes.
So they are throwing tax breaks, you know, they're throwing other concessions, things of that nature. So we shall see. So, you know, enjoy the curtains, enjoy the whiteboard while you can. At some point next year, hopefully this will also hopefully go away.
Couple questions here.
Of course.
First question, is the reason you're looking to leave actually because you have Bill Cosby living about 3 minutes away from you?
I mean, it doesn't help. It doesn't help the situation.
Do you believe that that has ruined the neighborhood for you?
That
at any moment you can walk out of your door and you'll see, hey, 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 walking down the street.
Well, I would say he doesn't really go for walks around here. So I don't know that that's really necessarily done a lot.
That's odd, because I thought you said that you he's not welcome in your neighborhood, is what you're saying?
No. I'm just saying he rarely goes out because he probably has the perception that he's not welcome. Good question from Billy. Did someone let me know that the alarm was going off in the basement? You know, my challenges is like 2 a.m. and I have that do not disturb setting on my phone overnight. So the alarm was going off for hours and just my phone just won't let me. So I have to figure out if there's a way where you can have your out of order on, but still have like certain apps be like, hey, by the way, your basement's filling with water.
I bet you that if you had a Samsung Galaxy, you probably could set that very easily.
Very possibly. I will have to, I'll have to look into that, but yeah,
but that's a real pisser.
It's you know, again, all things considered, it's not horrible, but it definitely could have been worse.
Have you considered moving to the down south?
Property
values much cheaper. Florida, there are, you know, you save on the income tax.
True. Do you want me that far away from you?
Oh, God, no.
Exactly. I have to consider my loved ones.
As possible, Bubba.
I have to consider my loved ones.
I'd be happy if you were in Woodhaven.
So, Brian, ton of stuff to cover this week. What should we start off with? Talk to me.
I feel like we got to go coronavirus again.
Unfortunately.
I mean, there's really not much that took place. Not much of that. I mean, there really wasn't a lot going on this week. I know a lot of people were expecting the Lollapalooza Music Festival from 2 weeks ago to be deemed a super spreader event.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that I personally agree with the definition of super spreader that seems to have been accepted within the medical community.
No, it is not. So apparently out of all the attendees, there was only 203 that have since tested positive for COVID. So I guess that that's not considered super spreader. And they also have no hospitalizations or deaths reported.
Yeah, you know, that's because it was a fully vaccinated or negative test environment, correct?
Correct. Now, on the flip side of the coin, the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally in South Dakota has caused that state to see the country's largest 2-week spike in COVID cases.
Shocking. Oh, no.
Shocking, I know. So I'm trying to see if I can pull up the numbers here. This is in Fortune, because overall cases up 52% in the country. I don't want to register to keep reading. Why does
Fortune? Are you sure?
I'm positive.
I'll tell you why, Ron, because if the product is free, then you are the product.
Exactly.
No, I didn't say that right. What is it again? If the service is free, then you are the customer.
You are the product. Something along those.
Watch Social Dilemma, everyone.
But regardless,
Dilemma, was that the name of? I'm just ranting at this point.
So anyway,
stop me, Ron. Stop me.
But what is interesting is you have Lollapalooza again, where people were required to either be vaccinated or show a negative COVID test. Not a super spreader event. You have the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, where people were not having the same requirements, and now South Dakota is experiencing the biggest surge of any state in the country right now. And that's impressive. When you can beat out like Alabama and Texas and Florida for COVID cases right now, it's fairly impressive.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
What do you, I mean, you may not know the answer to this, but what actually happens at Sturgis? I mean, I know that it is a gathering of the motorcycle enthusiast community.
Right. I mean, I
but
think
I don't know. Like, is there like an agenda? Is there day one, we do this, day two, we do that? I know there are bands playing because every year Kid Rock comes out of his cave and puts on a concert.
I mean, there are bands playing, you know, there are vendors there. I don't know that it's like, I don't know, this a convention where it's like, oh, there's a, you know, there's a, you know, a seminar on the best chrome gas cap going on Friday at 2 p.m. On Saturday in the Galaxy arena, we will be showing you the best ways to braid your rat tail. I don't think that they are necessarily doing those type events.
Yeah, I find that interesting. I find it very interesting because I have no idea what goes on in Sturgis. Obviously, I imagine people drink. I imagine methamphetamines are used.
Allegedly. There's definitely
drinking. I'm not saying any one particular person is using methamphetamines. I'm just saying, I guess, I would imagine that there's a lot of drinking.
Right.
I just don't understand what it is other than people riding their motorcycles. Now, here's another question. Do people fly there and rent motorcycles? Do they ride their motorcycles from wherever they are in America to Sturgis?
My guess is that you ride your motorcycle there. Like, I would think flying there and then renting a motorcycle would be considered a very bitch move by most of the attendees.
Now, do you think that Spotify created a separate, you know, Road to Sturgis playlist that is basically Steppenwolf's Born to Be Wild over and over and over again on repeat for 27 hours?
I would not be surprised. And because of that, I think Steppenwolf makes 18 cents every 27 hours.
Pretty much. Hey, was I right in saying that Steppenwolf sings the Born to Be Wild?
I believe you nailed that one.
Oh,
kudos to you. Kudos to you.
All righty. Yeah. So apparently Sturgis is a super spreader. Lollapalooza is not.
New Orleans Saints trying to prevent their games from becoming super spreader events. They recently released a statement about requirements. Since it is technically an indoor stadium without a retractable roof, they are requiring that fans show proof of vaccination. Any fan that is not vaccinated will again need to show proof of negative tests within 72 hours leading up to game time. Otherwise, just stay home. This makes sense. Louisiana, currently the second least vaccinated state in the nation in terms of percent of population, a little under 39% of the state is fully vaccinated. Only Idaho is worse. And so they basically have also said, if you own season tickets and you don't like it, too bad, you are not getting your money back.
That's the ballsy move on this thing. I understand them saying, listen, this is an indoor facility. You've got to be vaccinated. I feel like the vaccination mandates are going to become more and more frequent. What I think is the baller move on the part of the Saints organization is for them to say, if you're unvaccinated and you plan on getting vaccinated and therefore are unable to attend the game, we will be offering no refunds.
Right.
We now have your money.
I love some of the comments that were on Twitter about this. At Luke Fruits said, that seals the deal. I am no longer a Saints fan. This team is a pure and utter embarrassment to the city of New Orleans. I officially will not be renewing my plan next season, nor will I watch on TV ever again. I'm going to Philadelphia, where they know how to run a mega dynasty. Hate to break it to you. If you go to Lincoln Financial Field, it will be the same exact rules.
Yeah. I mean, it's the way it is.
And, also, welcome to communism, officially done with NOLA. How does communism tie into vaccination?
It is, I believe it is the hint, the fragrance, the flavor of the government is taking away your freedoms. So if you're not America, where apparently we have the freedom to do absolutely everything, therefore you have to be, the only other option is a communist state.
There you go. Well, they must have gone full communist out in the state of Washington, where Governor Jay Inslee on Wednesday ordered all school employees statewide to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19 as a condition of employment, making it the strictest school mandate in the nation. This requirement will apply to teachers and personnel at any type of school, public, private, or charter, as well as team coaches, bus drivers, and volunteers, K through 12 schools, most childcare and early learning centers, and higher education all fall under the mandate. They have until October 18th to be fully vaccinated. Brian, your thoughts on this?
I actually am quite surprised that Washington State would take the lead on this type of enforcement of vaccination mandates. However, it actually makes sense considering that Washington State was actually the first state that had recognized COVID patients.
That is correct.
Back in early 2020. So I can understand them saying, listen, we know what this is like. We know the scare. Time for people to get vaccinated.
And Washington is also bringing back an indoor mask mandate for everyone across the state, regardless of vaccination status.
Can I ask you a question?
You sure can.
Because I actually am somewhat confused as to what's going on in this country.
Okay.
Which is this. And if there's an easy, simple answer, please cut me off and tell me if you see where I'm going or I talk myself into circles. But so they came out with these vaccines. Pre-vaccine, everybody had to socially distance 6 feet. Everybody had to wear a mask.
Right.
Then people started getting vaccinated. Then the general policy became, if you're vaccinated, you do not need to wear a mask and you do not need to socially distance. If you are unvaccinated, you've got to wear a mask and you've got to be, you've got to socially distance. And the reason for that was the belief at the time was that if you are vaccinated, you are very unlikely to get coronavirus illness.
Right.
Now, now there are a rising number of people who are vaccinated. Some states are in the 70%. I don't think we've got anybody in the 90 percentile, do we?
I think New Jersey is getting close. But yeah, I don't know that anyone's hit 90%.
So it's like you've got states where they've got, you know, a majority of the people having been vaccinated. And yet there is this movement now of reinstituting the mask mandates.
Yes.
And I'm unsure what has changed from 4 months ago when the reward for being vaccinated was to not have to wear a mask.
Well, I think what has changed is the Delta variant, which we had commented on the other week. The Delta variant accounts for, I think, around 93% of new COVID cases right now.
I fly JetBlue. I do not fly Delta. I don't know that this applies to me.
And as we also discussed, you know, a number of the vaccines are showing that their efficiency drops significantly. Even Moderna,
the gold standard,
is only 76% effective against the Delta variant. Moderna.
What about Pfizer? What about Pfizer?
Pfizer is under, I think, was 46%. Johnson & Johnson, I believe, drops to in the 30s. So, you know, what the CDC is basically recommending is if you are in an area of the country that is experiencing a surge in COVID cases, which is pretty much the entire country right now,
yeah,
recommending that you start wearing masks again indoors as an additional precaution. And yeah, we see it this week. We saw three senators, John Hickenlooper, Angus King, Roger Wicker, all tested positive for COVID. All are vaccinated. Jesse.
What were those three names? Hold on. What were the three names you just said?
John Hickenlooper, Angus King, and Roger Wicker.
I think all three of them performed on the second REO Speedwagon album. I think you're talking about the rhythm section and the percussions.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott got COVID. He was vaccinated. Lindsey Graham.
Oh, I love this break. No. Let's go back to Abbott. Going back to Abbott. So here you've got this governor of Texas who has absolutely rejected mask mandates, rejected encouraging vaccinations, has basically said, people, this is Texas. Do what you want. Then he goes and tests positive for COVID-19. So what does he do? He gets his third shot, which means he either had Moderna,
the gold standard,
or Pfizer. He goes out and gets his booster shot. I don't know of anyone else that has announced that they've gotten their booster shot, but went out and gotten the booster shot. And then he also signed up for Regeneron antibody. So this guy has got souped up defense against being infected, and yet he is still denying that people should be wearing masks in his state.
Right.
I mean, the access of medical care that this guy now has is beyond what the average citizen of Texas has, and he's still telling them that they should not be taking precautions. But he goes to an elevated level that I've not heard anyone have since Trump was president and tested positive and needed to be rushed to the hospital.
But to your question, the masks are coming back because of that. Jesse Jackson and his wife Jacqueline were both hospitalized in Chicago after testing positive. Both of them were vaccinated. Not to mention the large number of children in the country that can't receive the vaccine, the immunocompromised people that can't get the vaccine. So again,
but they don't have the receptors. Dr. Drew specifically said they don't have the receptors. So
because we have a large enough portion of the population throughout the country that can't do things for other people, that don't want to get vaccinated, these variants will continue to pop up and we will continue to have these issues moving into the winter.
What do you think about the argument that is floating around amongst the anti-vaxxers that it is the vaccinated people that are the ones who are creating these variants?
I think it is just as loony as anything else these anti-vaxxers believe.
Okay.
Speaking of the non-vaccinated, there is a primary care physician in Alabama who has sent out a note to his patients. If you don't have a vaccination, you will not get treated. Dr. Jason Valentine is a family medicine doctor in Saraland, Alabama. He posted an image on Facebook of the policy, which will be effective October 1st, which just basically said Dr. Valentine will no longer see patients that are not vaccinated against COVID-19. He said, I can't force you to get the vaccine, but I also can't continue to watch my patients suffer and die from an eminently preventable disease, and that they would assist if you wanted to transfer your record. With just 36% of eligible Alabamans fully vaccinated, the state has one of the lowest vaccination rates in the country.
I love this guy. I love this guy. Is there any way we can get him on the podcast?
We can reach out. We can definitely reach out.
Can you have Matt reach out to him?
Our
fabulous producer, Matt Beaker. Not always on top of what we're doing. Sometimes we need to give him a little push or whatnot. But if it would be great if we could reach out to him and see if he could come on for a couple minutes next week.
All right. Now, many people said this is, him depriving people of their rights. People saying this is illegal. But again, when you operate,
they can go to other doctors.
This is a private practice. He can do whatever he damn well pleases. Yes. And as it turns out, he had, I think all of his remaining patients that were not vaccinated have since gotten their first shot since he sent out this notice. So maybe that's the incentive some people need.
You know what I've also seen? I've seen over the past maybe 2-3 weeks or so, there's several accounts on Instagram that I follow of people that used to post stuff about themselves, their day, their dog, their whatnot, and their accounts have literally just become anti-vax propaganda. Whether they believe it or not, whether it's real or not, I guess my point is the fact that it seems like it's become their entire online presence.
Yeah.
Is just looking for videos that back up their personal feeling towards it, and then just like resharing and reposting. And it's this, what do you call this?
The echo chamber.
Yes, that's why I knew you had the right word.
Thank you. In the meantime, we move on to our next story. A prominent U.S. cardinal who criticized the vaccine is now on a ventilator after getting COVID-19. Raymond Burke, age 73, is being treated in a Wisconsin hospital just days after confirming he had tested positive for the virus. 4 days prior, Burke had tweeted, "Praise be Jesus Christ. I wish to inform you that I have recently tested positive for the COVID-19 vaccine. Thanks be to God. I am resting comfortably and receiving excellent medical care. Please pray for me as I begin my recovery. Let us trust in divine providence." Apparently not enough people praying for Cardinal Burke at this point. Throughout the pandemic, though, he was skeptical of the vaccine and the lockdown measures introduced to stop the spread of the virus. Brian, you know what it sounds like to me?
What?
It sounds like Cardinal Burke is trying to get on our brand new segment. That's right. It's time for Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
And on a weekly basis for the past few weeks, we have read stories about people that were strongly against vaccines, caught COVID and passed away. So we felt that we should probably highlight them on a weekly basis. Brian, we actually have two examples this week. Tell me about your Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
Okay, Ron, I would like to bring your attention to the gentleman by the name of Presley Stutz.
Presley Stutz.
Presley Stutz. Now, Presley Stutz served, I use past tense because this bit is Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week. Presley Stutz, and keep in mind, people, in no way am I glorifying this person's death. In no way am I saying I am glad that he's dead. It's a shame. It is a crying shame that this man is dead when it could have been completely avoidable. All he needed to do was to get vaccinated. Now, does that mean vaccinations would not have prevented him from getting COVID or symptoms? But the odds of him dying would have gone from pretty good to very slim. Anywho, Presley Stutz, executive committee member of the Greenville County Republican Party in South Carolina, also the leader of the Greenville Tea Party. He died this past Thursday of coronavirus after a weeks-long battle, including 6 days spent on the ventilator. He was a 64-year-old veteran who had served his country proudly, frequently had lately shared conspiracy theories on social media about the virus, the vaccines, as well as the 2020 election on Facebook, including posts he made while from his ICU bed. He recently praised a South Carolina effort to strip funding from schools that imposed mask mandates. He was angry about $10 gift card incentives for vaccinations and writing to his he had 5,000 followers. We don't even have 5,000 followers. Is there any way that we, because he doesn't need them anymore, is there any way we can get his 5,000? He actually recently posted to his followers, "Do not sell your body nor your soul, no matter the asking price." Recently, he shared a post dismissing the Delta variant, which is likely the one that ended his life. Sadly, on August 1st, one of his last posts, the day he went into ICU, he said that he insisted he had always contended that COVID was very real and called it a deadly bioweapon perpetrated upon the people of the world by enemies foreign and perhaps domestic. Presley Stutz, we wish you adieu. And I vote for Presley Stutz as the dead anti-vaxxer of the week. Ron, who do you have?
This week, Brian, and not so fast, we have another one coming up with a bullet. This is Phil Valentine, a prominent conservative radio host in Tennessee who refused to get vaccinated, scoffed at the need of for vaccines, writing on his blog that his chances of dying from the virus should he become infected were way less than 1%. He announced his COVID-19 diagnosis back on July 11th and pledged to return to his show within a day or two. Unfortunately for the haters out there, it looks like I'm going to make it, he wrote. Interesting experience. I'll have to fill you in when I come back on the air. I'm hoping that will be tomorrow, but I may take a day off just as a precaution. Less than 2 weeks later, his radio station, 99.7 WTN, announced that the Nashville host was hospitalized in very serious condition, suffering from COVID pneumonia. The statement also said that Mr. Valentine had had a change of heart and urged others to get a vaccine. Phil would like for his listeners to know that while he has never been an anti-vaxxer, he regrets not being more vehemently pro-vaccine and looks forward to being able to more vigorously advocate that position as soon as he is back on the air. But on Saturday, the station announced on Twitter that he had passed away and asked followers, keep the Valentine family in your thoughts and prayers. Ryan,
do we know how many followers he had?
I don't know offhand how many followers he had, but he passes away at the age of 62.
7 years too short.
So again, I think it just
shame. No. We are not celebrating these deaths. Nope, I don't want anybody to misconstrue that we are celebrating these people's deaths. These deaths are completely avoidable. These deaths are an absolute shame. This is exactly what's wrong here, is people thinking that the disease isn't real, getting the disease and needing to be hospitalized, needing to have just literally ICU level treatment, passing away. These all did not need to happen. And it's just a fucking shame, an absolute fucking shame.
That is why we are encouraging everybody to go out and get vaccinated so that you too do not end up on Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
Brian, why else are we encouraging people to go out and get vaccinated?
There is one absolutely critical reason why people need, why listeners of the Ron and Brian podcast, whether you enjoy our program live streaming on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, whether you enjoy watching it on your in your spare time throughout the week, whether you are listening to the audio version on Podbeam, Apple Podcasts, Google Play,
Spotify, iHeartMedia.
Okay. All right. For those people, we are instituting a policy starting September 12th, Sunday, September 12th, that episode, where we are requiring all of our followers, our listeners, streamers, whatnot, viewers, to be vaccinated. I'm going to announce this announcement that we've put together. Hold on a second.
Get a little beer down the gullet there.
The Ron and Brian podcast is committed to providing a safe space for those who want to laugh and cry together. Per the most recent CDC update and COVID-19 guidelines, we, starting on September 12th, are going to require the following of all listeners and viewers of our podcast. Proof of full COVID-19 vaccination or one shot of Moderna,
the gold standard,
or Pfizer. A negative COVID test will not be accepted, as we know the unvaccinated carry a higher viral load than the vaccinated. Mask use is encouraged if listening indoors and within 6 feet of someone else. Stay home if you are not feeling well. Please do not listen. We cannot afford our fan base to catch COVID-19 from listeners who are spreading the virus amongst themselves. We care too much about everyone who listens to our podcast to risk potentially exposing them to COVID-19 or furthering its spread throughout our beloved podcaster community. We understand that some might be opposed to this policy, but we must look out for the greater good as well as our podcast. We ask for your cooperation during these unprecedented times so that we can safely keep the hosts performing safely and keep people throughout the world laughing, which we've always felt is critical to mental health.
All right. Very good. Just a quick comment we're seeing from listener Lisa about having to lock the kids away now during the Sunday's show. We are providing exemptions for kids 12 and under.
We are?
Yeah, we said that.
We didn't talk about that.
Yeah, we did.
I have to update the policy. Hold on.
Remember, Ron and Brian is for the children.
That Hold on, I have to update the policy.
All right, update the policy. Speaking of health news, I am proud to announce that I have scheduled my very first colonoscopy, which will be taking place on Friday, September 3rd, doing my best to stay healthy for you, the listener. Now, Brian, have you had a colonoscopy before?
No, I've never. Really? I have not. I have had fingers. Multiple in my rectum, okay. Sometimes for medical purposes, sometimes for pleasure. However, I've never required that procedure. However, I am expecting it at some point in my life.
Oh, yeah. Well, they say, I hit 50. So that is the age, like many things, they tell you to start and get it done. I'm not overly concerned about the procedure because I will be unconscious at the time. They do sedate you for that, but the prep seems fairly intense. So there's like certain foods they ask you to refrain from eating a week prior, and then the day prior I have to in the afternoon start drinking this concoction of Gatorade and Miralax for like 5 or 6 hours, and you literally drink a month's worth of Miralax in an evening to clean yourself out. So I am not happy with that.
Do you know what it tastes like? Have you looked up reviews?
I have not really looked into it. I did get myself some lemon lime Gatorade because that is my favorite flavor of Gatorade. So hopefully that masks the powder flavor of the Miralax.
Question.
Yes.
Question.
Oh, that's another good point too. No food, only things like chicken broth or green jello the day before.
I feel like Janelle just handed out some information that maybe she's gone through this before.
Maybe.
Ron. Yeah. So you're having this done on a Friday, September 3rd, correct?
Yes, correct.
It is on my calendar.
The question that I have for you is that you will be doing this Thursday evening.
I will be doing this, yes, Thursday afternoon into the evening, yes.
What time are you starting on Thursday afternoon?
I start with some Ducalax tablets at 3, and then I start drinking the Miralax at 4.
Okay. My question to you is this, and really the subtext here is how much do you love the podcast? Would you be willing to do a Thursday night Patreon only live episode where you and I talk you through what's going on as you are taking the Duralax and the Pepto
the Miralax.
The Miralax. So that a lot of laxing going on here.
Yeah.
You need to relax. And then
would like you be willing to better. This might be better as like an Instagram live type thing. Like
then it's for the masses. And I think we need to drive people behind the paywall.
This is how you grow your social media following. Like this is how it happens. Like a lot of people don't realize that that's how that one guy that passed away got to 5,000 Facebook followers. Is he live broadcast his colonoscopy prep?
Okay. So you will do Instagram. Is there any way I can join your Instagram live?
I think if you go live at the same time, then I can connect you on the podcast.
Are you willing to do that?
I mean, I'm willing to, hold on.
Do not make any commitments. Talk it over with the wife.
All right.
Because I know that sometimes I have a way of pushing you in a direction that may not necessarily be what's best for you. Sometimes my instincts are not necessarily what's best. So I'm going to say, talk it over with your wife. But all right. I think that doing a live stream on our Instagram, as you spend the hours, and you'll have to obviously get some type of external battery to plug into the phone so that you can be live for 9 hours. But I think we should do that.
All right. Now I've also, again, because I care so much, I have signed up for a medical study. A company called Genoscopy is developing an in-home colon cancer screening kit. You see these now where you can send in a stool sample, but it can only tell you if you currently have colon cancer. It doesn't detect precancerous symptoms like a colonoscopy does. So they are trying to develop this kit. So in addition to the colonoscopy, I will be basically pooping into a Cool Whip container and shipping it to this company, and they will compare it with the results of my colonoscopy to see how effective this in-home test is.
Oh boy. Now, are you, have you tried this out?
I literally just got the kit in the mail today, FedEx, I should say.
And by the way, I want people to understand the level of love that exists for me in your home. And I think one of the recurring themes in my life is that I am uncomfortable accepting love. We've talked about it quite a bit. If somebody approaches me directly with love and affection, I get nervous. It's not something that I am comfortable accepting. A lot of it, and probably I should be in therapy for it, a lot of it just stems directly from the fact that I grew up in a house where we showed our love for each other. We never actually physically expressed it. Anywho, but Ron's wife sent me a video earlier today of Ron opening this box with his poop collector.
Paraphernalia.
It was paraphernalia. It was a bucket. It was liquid. It had the scooper. It had a tray. But the fact that the two of you thought to yourselves, Brian would love a video of you opening this box. The fact that you guys understand me at such a molecular level, because that was absolutely the high point of my day, was sitting there watching you open it with the commentary from your, it was just pure.
It
was Italian chef kiss. I felt loved in that moment. For those 2 minutes, I felt loved.
All right. Well, we are pushing 1 hour here. We did have a bunch of things.
Can I ask you one question, Ron?
Of course.
What are you watching?
Brian, I watched last night on Hulu the Nicolas Cage movie, Willy's Wonderland, which came out in February of this year. Nicolas Cage stars as a man who gets locked inside of Willy's Wonderland. Think of it like a Chuck E. Cheese type place, which is inhabited by animatronic creatures that are possessed by the spirits of serial killers. And so then he needs to obviously survive the night and kill all of these things. And I get that they were going for like a very campy horror movie type deal for this, but it very possibly was one of the worst movies that I have ever seen.
It sounds terrible.
And like normally, like, all right, so Nick Cage is basically a parody of himself at this point. But that's what you watch his movies for, is just his over-the-top acting and shouting and everything else. His character does not say a word in this film.
What do you mean?
silent. Like all the other actors have, you know, dialogue and whatnot. Literally does not say an entire word.
So he literally says nothing?
Literally says nothing.
So it's all about his expressions.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Does he at any point try to steal the Declaration of Independence?
No, that would have made it interesting to me, but he never does.
Have you seen Pig?
I have not seen Pig yet, but I hear I need
that to. That came out recently and has gotten very good reviews. I don't know the plot of it. I'm not going to pretend to. I mean, it's something to do with truffle farmers.
He apparently has a truffle pig. I've heard it is similar to John Wick in certain ways in that aspect. Like I hear his pig gets kidnapped and he has to go try and get his pig back.
At any point during Pig, does he steal the Declaration of Independence?
We'll have to watch and find out. That I'm not sure.
All right. Well, it's not streaming right now, which is very disappointing to me. But you know what is streaming?
What's that?
Netflix's Untold, Deal with the Devil.
Yes.
The Rise and Fall of Boxer Christy Martin, which is part two of Netflix's documentary series. Are they all sports?
They are all sports related, yes.
This one tells the story of female boxer Christy Martin, who rose to fame during the Mike Tyson years. She basically, I don't know, you're going to have to help me out.
She was really the first person to legitimize women's boxing. Yeah, she came up in the mid to late 80s and then really made her mark when she was on the undercard of the Mike Tyson Frank Bruno pay-per-view out of Vegas in, I want to say, 92.
Now, had you heard of her prior to this documentary?
I had. I had actually watched a special on the ID channel about her.
The gold standard.
And her husband, who had been her trainer also, because he nearly killed her. He stabbed and shot her, and she survived that. So I had watched a show just more detailing their relationship and the abuse that she went through, and his attack on her and him going to prison over that. You know, this really dug more into, you know, her career and coming up and becoming kind of the international, star that she did, you know, first
and
woman
coming out and coming out
and coming out first woman boxer to ever appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Don King signed her to a contract. I personally thought it was very well done, very interesting. It is also very interesting now that Mike Tyson is interviewed in this documentary, and he has reached like that elderly sage advice portion of his career where, you know, he will sit and pontificate on things that, you know, were relevant back in his day.
Right.
People
seem to have forgotten that he bit a guy's ear off.
Exactly. They also don't tend to mention his rape conviction all that much anymore either.
Mm. What did I think of the show? I feel like had they started off with this and then hit me with Malice in the Palace, I probably would have thought that this was very interesting. However, I had such high expectations going into it. I felt that this was a mildly entertaining story of a female boxer rising from the coal mine area of West Virginia to national stardom. And then within the last maybe 10 minutes of an hour and a half documentary, suddenly the story turns and we now start talking about the real issues between her and her ex-husband.
Yes.
When he basically tried to kill her. I mean, the dude straight up, he stabbed her, he shot her, he pistol whipped her, he slammed. I mean, like literally, this woman should be given 8 weapons and allowed to have 3 minutes in a room with this guy. But she's a survivor. You can see that she emotionally she's not 100%, but she is you know, she absolutely is refusing to allow this incident to hold her down. I would rate it a solid 6 out of 10.
Okay.
And I feel like that's probably a point and a half lower, only because I had enjoyed the previous documentary so much.
I would give it 7 out of 10. It was also very, maybe heartwarming. Heartwarming is the way that when you find out she ended up marrying one of her former opponents, you know, years after they had boxed, like that.
I know.
It was very touching. Very good way. Yeah. Again, I thought it was well done. Not as good as Malice in the Palace. I would still recommend it. And I'm anxious to see the next documentary they come out with.
Do we know what the next one is or no?
I don't. You would think one of us would have researched that.
I like surprises. I like with the exception of life, I like surprises in terms of I don't know what the next episode's going to be. I'll head it. You know what I've been watching?
Yes. What have you been watching?
Dave on Hulu, show Dave.
That's a good show.
I never watched it. I was listening to a couple entertainers whose opinion that carries some weight with me. And they were both talking about how season 2 of Dave is some great television. And it's basically the rapper Little Dicky,
right,
who plays kind of a character based on himself, where he is a white male trying to gain credence in the hip hop community, despite the fact that he is a satire rapist, but actually feels that despite the fact that he doesn't take himself too seriously in terms of his persona, he still feels that his skills as a hip hop artist should be valued. Season 1 seems to be on a trajectory of him starting off at the bottom and working to get higher up on the ladder. I've seen some ads for season 2. He seems to be living in a much better home. So what I fear is that in season 2, he has now made it, and now he is living the life of a fabulous rapper. And I believe that's where I will check out, much like Brockmire season 2. But I just kind of feel like I feel like it's approaching this cliche that Hollywood does, where they take somebody who is struggling at the bottom and feels the need to bring them up to a level of success, not realizing that what made the story interesting and what made the character somebody that people would connect with is the fact that they're struggling.
Right.
So I feel like that's got potential for me to check out, but I've been watching it and enjoying. I'm halfway through season 1 on Hulu.
I've not watched season 2 of Dave. I will tell you, the final episode of season 1, great, great episode.
Really?
Yep. I think you will really enjoy it, but I can't.
Is that the one where he gets a colonoscopy?
I believe so. And I'm going to tickle your ass with a feather a little bit here, Brian, because I have looked up what the next episode of Untold, what the subject matter is. It comes out this Tuesday, August 24th. Two words, Brian: Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh.
So clearly, we will be discussing Untold again in next week's What Are You Watching?
Okay. All right. Quick. Do you think they're going to mention the traffic accident where she killed the lady?
I think they have to. I think if you don't deal with all the stuff, at least make mention of it. I think you lose your legitimacy as a documentary.
I wouldn't be, but that whole family is so image conscious that I would be shocked if she is willing to spend a responsible amount of time addressing it. I mean, she literally killed somebody.
Oh, I know.
She was driving recklessly on a road. She slammed into another car that went into another car, and the driver of that third vehicle died from that accident. And Caitlyn Jenner not only walked away with her driver's license, but served absolutely No criminal charges whatsoever. It wasn't even prison. No criminal charges. It was just like, oh, you're Caitlyn Jenner. You can kill people. You can cause accidents. Go for it. I will be surprised.
On Tuesday. We will see. Want to wrap up real quick here before we get to After Dark for our Patreon subscribers. But Brian, we have a few stories that we didn't get to. So just I want your quick reaction on these three
Round.
First, Afghanistan.
Absolute shit show. I don't think that there was a way to avoid a shit show, but we have to figure out a way to get American citizens out safely. I don't feel the need for us to prioritize or to risk American lives getting Afghans who helped the Americans or the Afghan government against the Taliban.
All right. Matt.
You can't ask me. And
We got to wrap this up. So okay. Matt Gaetz elopes to California, marries his girlfriend.
Where did he marry, by the way?
Where?
Yeah.
Oh, he married her in, Catalina?
It's the Catalina wine mixer. I think that this is a ploy to make him look like a family man because there are charges being investigated against him for trafficking a minor for sexual purposes in his past. This is his attempt to make him look like a respectable white male.
All right. Also, on a side question to that, his new wife's name is Ginger Lucky. Have you ever heard a name so similar to a stripper from a person who is not a stripper?
No, not Ginger Lucky.
Ginger Lucky. And finally, Brian, Mike Richard resigns as host of Jeopardy due to back.
He had to. Ronnie had to after that bad set he did at the improv. There was no way that he could be allowed to host Jeopardy after screaming the N-word at two audience members.
All right. Fair enough.
We do not whore out our Patreon. Ron and I are not great self-promoters. We do not sit there and say, please let us have your money. But really, this show costs money. Everything you're looking at here, even the fancy background with the leaves, I'm not sure, is that a fall thing that we have going on over here right now? Web hosting, targeted ads to help it. It all costs money. One of the ways that we have decided, we don't want to charge for the podcast. This podcast will always be free. We've been contacted by advertisers. Please, can you read our, ad copy? We won't do it. This show will always be free. However, to help allay some of the costs, I'm not sure I used the word allay correctly there. To help offset some of the costs that Ron and I personally incur to do this show every week for you, is we have decided we are going to do an additional 30-60 minutes of content behind a paywall only for our Patreon subscribers. We have, because it's behind the paywall, we decided that that's going to be the more X-rated content, the spicy content. That's where Ron tells us a little bit more about himself personally than he's comfortable with. That's where I tend to show my feet. That's where we talk sex, butt plugs, fleshlights, human trafficking. So if you are right now watching this show and you are not on our Patreon, for as little as $5 a month, you can help support the show. The link is below. Go to Ron and Brian Podcast. Click a button on the upper right-hand corner. It'll take you to the Patreon page for as little as $5. That gives you the audio copy for $10 a month, which is $10 a month. That's $2.50 a week. Not a lot of money. That gets you a link on a weekly basis to join us live, to watch us. Once a month, we do something we call the pajama party, where our patrons are invited to come on the show with us. Last month, we played a great game of
match game.
Match game. this month, and I'll say it now just to kind of wet people's whistle, we are going to play a game called Beat Ron, where we are going to be showing mugshots, and our patrons will each be allowed to guess what crime these people are were charged with. And anyone that can beat Ron in term, and Ron's going to be playing the game along with you. If you beat Ron's total, we will donate $25 to your favorite charity.
All right.
Last month we donated $25 to Mental Health America, so it's a great cause. You pick the great cause that is supported by our podcast. Please join our Patreon.
Sounds good. Well, thank you all for joining us this week. For our Patreon folks, we will see you after dark in about 15 minutes. Brian, anything else before we wrap up here?
Yeah, some beer just went in my eye. And it really burns.
You better get that cleaned up before after dark. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We will see you all again next week.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.